Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are here once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated for the liberation, to the liberation of new African people in support of the new African independence movement. And when we say new African, we are talking about black people right here in America. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And we want to start out, as we do always, with shining the spotlight on an event, organization, or an individual who played a significant role in the liberation movement for new African people here in America. And today, we want to talk about none other than the late, the great, our shining prince, Brother Malcolm X, also known as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. So, let's get right into it. El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X, born May 19, 1925, assassinated February 21st, 1965. He was the national spokesman of the Nation of Islam, a strong and powerful advocate for African, new African independence, black nationalism. He was a human rights advocate. He articulated the difference between a civil rights struggle and a human rights struggle. He advocated for self-determination and self-defense of black people, new African people. Of course, after his split with the Nation of Islam, he continued to influence the new African, the independent struggle, and the Black Power movement. And he was ultimately assassinated, of course, in 1965 by what we believe, and many in the new African community believe, as a result of a counterintelligence program campaign. And even the FBI itself, which was headed by J. Edgar Hoover at the time, admitted to creating the conditions in which allowed Brother Malcolm, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, to be assassinated. Of course, his death was very controversial, and there were thousands of pages documented by the FBI about Malcolm X during the time of his assassination attempt. So it's no doubt that the counterintelligence program was responsible for the assassination of our dear brother, as they were responsible for the murder of so many of our leaders. But even after his assassination, his political analysis, teachings, and philosophies have influence many other organizations, individuals, and movements in the struggle for African liberation. Some of these movements are the Black Panther Party, he helped to influence the Black Power movement in America in the 60s. His philosophies are instrumental in the establishment of the Republic of New Africa, and he continues to be a powerful figure, a powerful symbol, as well as someone who gave us critical analysis of the system today. He continues to be that for us in our movement today. But I want to get into a clip from Brother Malcolm. This is Brother Malcolm in the need for black nationalism.
Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere.
it's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, it castrates you. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave.
And that was it. There you have it, Brother Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz. And on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to recognize, we want to celebrate, we want to uplift and uphold the great legacy of our great brother, our great freedom fighter, our shining prince, Brother Malcolm X. And with that, that leads us to our topic for today. Because as you heard, he talked about the need for us to utilize black nationalism and simply understand, brothers and sisters, that the black nationalist movement has now elevated to the new African independence new African independence movement today. So, but he talked about need to struggle for independence and how everyone on the planet gained their independence through nationalism. And he correctly articulated America as being under colonizing force, and African people as being a colony under colonialism in America. And he called America a hypocritical colonialist society, our nation, because it gives you the perception that you are free, but in essence, you are a second class citizen. You are a colony, and we have always advocated, we have always said on this show that new African people here in America, black people here in America, because we have no control over the resources and systems that govern our lives. We have no control over the educational system, the political systems, the social systems, the justice systems, educational systems. We can go on all day, but we have no control over the systems that govern our very lives. Therefore, that makes us a colony of the United States. We are under the total authority and power of the very same people who have historically benefited from our collective exploitation. So that leads us to our topic today, because as you heard Brother Malcolm speak of, all over the world, as it was then, it's still that way today. You see people rising up against this American imperialistic, colonizing, capitalistic system. People all over the world are rising up against this system. And not only that, you see this world system, this global system this global economic system of capitalism falling everywhere. You see signs right here in America with the economic depression that we've been suffering from for years now. And really, it's just nature, because all things come to an end. The very nature of this system, in which is based on the exploitation of man by man, cannot sustain itself forever. It is amazing that Europeans have been able to continue this system of exploitation for this long, but eventually it falls. Which brings us to a very difficult question, because we as new African people, our black people here in America, have been conditioned to be connected and dependent on this system of capitalism, of imperialism, of colonialism, and white supremacy. So connected and so dependent upon this system that if the system falls, we would fall with it. If the system fails to provide, if the system collapses, being that we are dependent upon this system and we have not conditioned and we have not trained and we have not worked in the areas collectively of independence, we have not operated as an independent entity outside of this system of white supremacy, we would fall with it. So that's what we want to talk about today. I mean, if that is the case, well, what should we be doing? How should we be preparing for this scenario, this phenomenon right now? And, of course, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And I see I have my brother Kakaiyi on the line. Brother Kakaiyi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, brother. I am, I will. So you've been listening. What do you think? First of all, if this system of neocolonialism, white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, if this system fails, being that we are dependent upon this system because we have not won our independence, but being if this system fails, would it fall right on top of us? And if that is the case, what should we be doing in order to prevent that? What are your thoughts, brother?
Well, first and foremost, it's obvious if the system falls and we're with the system, within the system, a part of the system, supporting the system, perpetuating the system, we're going to be casualties along with the system. But let's look at the reality. All throughout the history of humankind, civilizations, societies have risen in 300 to 500 years. So this system of capitalism is destined to fall. That's number one. Number two, we have examples throughout history of what to do in order for us to survive through the collapse or the demise of this capitalist system. We have to recognize the signs that show us that it's falling, which we have a number of those, and I can go into greater details with that. But just on a personal level, when we look at the Iranians that come in here, when we look at the Chinese that come in our communities, when we look at the Koreans that come in our communities, and they have these mom-and-pop stores, and they have these hair salon stores, they are all armed. So they don't have to tell us that we need to be armed as well. We should just look and see the signs that we should be armed. You can't go into an Arab store, mom-and-pop store, and those folks are not working behind the counter with arms, because they're prepared. They know what to expect. Now, as far as us as a people, what we should be doing is we should recognize everything within the confines of this dominating colonialist society that is dictating to us what not to do. Those things that we should not do are the things we should do. We got our brothers and sisters getting driving violations and getting felony charges and being told that you cannot bear arms because you have a felony. These are signs that we need to be bearing arms. We need to bear arms for our own protection and our own survival, because when this country collapses, you're going to have entities that don't like the United States that will first not want to affect us, but when it comes down to the lack of resources and the scarcity of food and water, everyone will need to be able to protect and defend themselves. And so we as a people, if we're not prepared to protect and defend ourselves, we will fall right along with this society. And the solution is that we need to start training ourselves to know how to defend ourselves, to know how to protect ourselves. And one of the ways to do that is to bear arms and use their so-called Constitution, the Second Amendment, to bear arms freely and be in a position to protect ourselves. There's no such thing as luck in this world. You're either prepared when the opportunity presents itself or you're not. And because we know what's happening, if you look at the international market, the European, the euro, and the British are actually pulling out of the euro. So when they pull out the euro, the European economy is going to fall. That means that consequently their daughter or their son or their child, which is the United States, will fall as well. But the United States is going to fall in a number of different aspects. They're going to fall from within because of the oppression and that they are placing on the people in this country. They're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to deal with the international market falling because capitalism is destined to fall. And we have to be prepared to say that we're not a part of this system. We have our own nation. We have our own identity, our own self-determination within the confines of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa, and we should band together in nationhood to make sure that we have our land when this falls. We'll be a part of this tyranny that's going to come up when this capitalist system worldwide dissolves.
Well, well said. You bring up a lot of, and stick with me, brother, because I want to come right back to you, because you said a lot of important things. One of the important things that you talked about is, you know, as this system begins to fall, you see the signs of it and the necessity and the need for us to get arms. And one thing you will notice in the media that there's this, you know, a big campaign to get rid of arms, to take away the arms, a big anti-gun campaign. We can't be fooled because, you know, there's been a lot of tragedies, a lot of mass shootings and all. But instead of dealing with the root cause of the problem, the administration of the government wants to target guns, want to get rid of the guns out of the hands of the citizens. Well, one thing that you have to understand about just nature in general, that the first law of nature is self-preservation. A species or whatever would do, including an organization, whatever type of organism, would do whatever it takes in order to survive. Nothing gives its life easily. If something goes down, it goes down with the fight. And this includes a system of white supremacy, a system of capitalism, imperialism, and colonialism. So, as you said, America, the biggest threat to America falling is an internal threat, because all of the great major civilizations fell from within. And it would more than likely fall from the rising up of the people in America against the oppression. And that's one thing that you see happening. Slowly, but you see it happening, people awakening to the oppression that's going on in America and correctly identifying the source of that oppression. And the more that happens, the more you will see repressive measures by the government. Right now, it's just, you know, it's they're using justifications to try to disarm people. They're slowly changing laws, and this has been happening for years. The more you will see as this society becomes threatened, as the system becomes in deeper threat. You will see more repressive laws. You will see more of a fascist state. We see how the police are out of control. And that's nothing new. We just have cameras, and we now can have video documentation of how the police treat people. But that's nothing new. But that's more so reason why we have to arm ourselves. Not only arm ourselves, but we have to get training. We have to get the necessary training because, you know, we did a show on, is it necessary for us to have our own internal defense system as far as new African people, black people? We need our own army, an army that is independent, an army that is not under the authority or control of the United States, of the government, of the white supremacists. But not only do we need our own defense system, we need our own, as you said, we need our own land so we can begin to produce the resources necessary for our survival. We need our own schools so we can create the type of citizens in our nation and indoctrinate them with the type of mindset that is going to prepare them to survive in this world. We need our own food sources. We need all of these things. Because if you look at the signs, and a lot of times we can't get tripped up. We can't get fooled by the smoke and mirrors, by the illusion. You have a black president and you get all happy because you think things are changing. Well, really, that's a sign, because this whole election thing, that's just smoke and mirrors. That's something that's put before the American people in order to make them believe that they actually have a choice, that they are actually participating in change. You know, you get excited about voting, and people spend a lot of money, time, effort, and energy into casting votes, and they think that that's the way you should do things in order to change the conditions in America. When in reality, regardless to whether you vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're going to get the same thing. The only thing you're voting for is a different personality. People voted for Obama because, hey, we like his personality. He's a black man. We recognize his personality. But when you look at his policy, you know, it's not really that much different. New African people are actually in a worse condition today than we were, especially when it comes to economics, before he came to office. So it's not a politician is not going to come down and save the day for us. Like I said, this whole voting thing is a joke. I know, you know, people are all, you know, amazed with this whole phenomena of the election this year with this Donald Trump guy who really basically appeals to the down heart, cold-blooded white supremacist. He says a lot of just so-called politically incorrect statements. He speaks the language of a lot of the pure white racist American feels. He says the things that they want to say. And that's why, you know, a lot of white supremacists, white people in general, identify with him. But in reality, it does not matter if Hillary Clinton gets in or Donald Trump gets in. They're basically two wings of the same bird. So in essence, we have to neutralize all of this. And we can't get fooled. They put Harriet Tubman on the dollar. We can't be fooled and think, oh, things are changing. Well, see, we have to understand that anytime there is a threat to this system of white supremacy, threat to the system of imperialism, colonialism, and capitalism, then the system is a defense mechanism. First thing they do is they start passing out pacifiers. They begin to pacify the public. And recently, over the last couple of years, when the system has seen subjects, new African people, begin to get outwardly dissatisfied with the order of things in America, to the point where many of our brothers and sisters were willing to take to the streets and respond in a violent way. But once that starts happening, the system says, okay, this is now a potential threat. Because as long as you're at the protesting stage and you're trying to ask the government and ask the people who benefit from your exploitation to change the current situation, as long as you're at that stage right there, then you're still not a threat. You only become a threat when you try to become independent of the colonial power. But once you get to the point where you're starting to use violence, then the system says, okay, now we're at a point where these people could be potentially threatening. We need to give them something to shut them up. We need to give them put Harriet Tubman on the back of a $20 bill and have Andrew Jackson on the other side, so it won't make our white people too mad. But these are just pacification techniques. So we can't get fooled and think that, well, things are actually getting better because they give us a few pacifiers. That's why we have to prepare, and we have to use our energy not to get together and vote for a Democrat, but to create independence, to become as independent as possible, so we can neutralize, so we won't be affected by the collapse of this devastating system. And Brother Kikaye, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Free the land, brother.
Free the land, free the land. I didn't mean to just take over things. But like I said, you know, I wanted to come back with you. So, you know, you can father your thoughts.
Well, I like the fact that you mentioned pacifiers. You know, pacifiers are used for infants and people, that babies that are not actually a threat. But what you do is they're annoying you, so you stick a pacifier in their mouth, a crying. And that's what they're doing to us. They're sticking a pacifier in our mouth so we can stop crying. And that's going to work temporarily, but we have to recognize that we're in a system where
you still there, brother?
Yes. I'm sorry. I just had a lapse there. When we talk about, I got a lot of things going on in my head because you mentioned a lot of points. But when we talk about preparing for our independence, preparing for the downfall of this system, then we have to prepare ourselves to be in a position to survive. If you look at just the white people in this country of European descent, these people are actually preparing. They know, they don't care about this government. They just care about the survival of white people. And so whenever this system does anything that reflects a goal or an objective or a strategic objective to the demise of white people, they band together. And, you know, they got training facilities all around the United States because this is their country. So they can do that. If you Google Boondocks Firearms Training Academy, Mississippi, you'll see that they got 100 acres of land to train their people how to navigate through the woods, how to navigate through urban situations where they have structures there to replicas of cities so that they could know how to maneuver through buildings and stuff. Just Google Boondocks Firearms Training Academy, which if we had a firearms training academy as a people, we'd be locked up as terrorists. The key would be thrown away. We'd be locked up in jail and the key thrown away. And you have to recognize that these things don't exist because there's no problem in the United States. It exists because they are preparing themselves. And like I said, there's no such thing as luck. The only way luck exists is if you're opportunity when it presents itself. And so the opportunity is coming for us to protect and defend ourselves. We need to be prepared, because if you don't be prepared, it ain't going to be no luck and you're going to be able to survive. You're going to have to be prepared to survive. And so we just have to look at the writings on the wall. You know, Malcolm also said, and I like the clip you gave of Malcolm, but he also said that we use this term revolution too loosely. If you knew the details of what's required behind a revolution, half of you would be a part of this tyranny that's going on, because you'd be scared to do what it takes to be a real revolutionary. You can't have a revolution without bloodshed. You can't. They're coming for your throat. You know, like the brother I said, I saw a brother, he was talking about freedom. And the brother said, if you snatch a person at gunpoint with chains around their neck and their arms and their feet, and you take them to your house, and you make them your slave in your house, and have them do everything that you need them to do in your house as your slave, and then all of a sudden you raise your hands up and say that you're free now, but you have to go by the rules of this house. You still don't have freedom, because you're still under the auspices of the person who rules that house. You're still under the auspices of the person who rules this nation, this country. And so you're never going to be free till you have your own independence. And then and only then can you come up with solutions to unique problems in our community that we can effectively change. We can't change it when we are under the roof of someone else that's dictating to us that what we can and cannot do. That's not freedom. And we have to recognize that as a people. We need to wake up. And the only way we can begin to galvanize as a people and get us out of this bondage is to focus on nationhood. Because all the things around nationhood will be solved. All the things that are detrimental to our community will be solved once we have that backbone, that spinal cord, that foundation that links us all together to attack each controversy or situation that's adverse to our community in a collective manner. We'll have the support of our people from the nation to help us with education. We'll have the help from our people collectively to combat economics. We'll have the collective support of our people as a nation to help us with all of these guidelines and statutes and so-called laws that keep us from excelling as a people. So we have to focus on our nationhood. We have to develop our concepts of solutions from that basis of having a nation, and then we can galvanize and attack each of the sidebar issues, just like any other community does. The Vietnamese, the Chinese, the Arabs, they come here on one accord. They have their differences, but they come here on one accord, and then they tackle each little sidebar issue as they go along with nationhood. And we can't do that if it's on nationhood. If we're going to be able to survive the fall of this country, then we have to focus on our own nationhood, because we have to be able be in a position or be prepared to defend and protect ourselves when the opportunity presents itself.
Exactly. And we're just about out of time. I appreciate you, breaking that down, a way to come back. But as we stated, as we always state, the biggest issue that new African people face in America, the biggest issue that black people face in America, is the fact that we are out of control. Our communities have no control over the political, educational, economic, justice systems and all other systems that govern our very lives. They are controlled by the individuals who have historically benefited from our exploitation. Therefore, making it virtually impossible for us to solve our own problems, mainly because there is no self-determination under that situation, under that circumstance. So when the very system that, although it is exploiting us, but when the very system comes under fire, the very system in which we have grown to be dependent upon starts to fall. If we are still connected with that system, then we will suffer right along with it. We will meet our demise right beside the system. And as has been stated earlier, the way to combat that is to disconnect from this system of white supremacy, imperialism, colonialism, and capitalism, and create our own, control our own, do for ourselves, have self-determination. And this program has already been started. The blueprint for our salvation has already been written in 1968 with the Republic of New Africa, which is now, it has the provisional government. That's a temporary government until we gain our independence and set up a permanent government. But the blueprint has already been laid out for us. All we have to do is pick it up, update it, and bring it forth, and bring it into existence on an individual level. Families begin to implement the principles of the Nguzo Saba. These principles, this holiday of Kwanzaa, the seven principles of blackness, as it was called, was created in order to address the problems of our people. It was created so we could have a culture that would implement practices and principles of independence. So with that, brothers and sisters, my name is Brother Yera Amadi. Join us every week as we engage in conversations relevant to the independent struggle of New African people. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any